So welcome to this week's Wolf Whistle podcast. This week, because they are actually turning into weekly events now, I am joined by an absolute Wolves legend, 451 appearances in the old gold and black, 43 goals, Sherpa Van Trophy winner, also won the 4th Division and 3rd Division League titles, locally born, Andy Thompson. Andy, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I am absolutely brilliant. Really enjoying these podcasts. I think you're our 7th now, Andy, and you're in some good company, but I think you've got the record of appearances out of all our podcasters so far.
It's always nice to win something, isn't it?
Yeah, there you go. Another medal to the collection. So, obviously, Andy, locally born in Featherstone. You used to watch Wolves growing up, didn't you?
I did. My granddad used to take me down to the Molyneux. It was mainly for the night games, because I was playing football at the weekends myself. So it was always difficult. But yeah, so watching the John Richards, Mel Eves even, so like grace the turf at Molyneux. So yeah, so it's I've had a good relationship, or I've had a long relationship with Wolverhampton Wanderers, yeah.
So it must be really nice, and I've spoke to a couple of players about this, that are locally born that have got to play for the club that they support.
Yeah, it is great, and that was one of the main things when I signed for the club from West Brom. Was because of the ties and being local as well. But with that comes pressure as well.
Yeah.
All my friends were Wolves fans. So when you saw them at the weekends or when you went out, there was always that hoping that you have a good game, because if you didn't, you was getting some stick off them. So
really? So if you went down the pub after a game?
Yeah. That was part and parcel of it. So at the end of the day, I used to always go and see my friends on a Sunday though, and that and that potluck that was always in the pub. So that was the only problem. But I always kept the attachment with my friends from Featherstone, and always went there to see him at the weekend, even when we was playing.
Yeah.
And look, say, they give you a bit of stick because they want the result.
Of course.
But it's all a little bit of banter and stuff like that as well, so it was no problem.
So who was your junior teams that you played for growing up?
I played Featherstone to start off with. Then I went to Creswell Wanderers.
Yeah.
Played for them for a number of years. That's where I got spotted. By Sid Day from West Brom. Then I played for Wentzfield.
Yeah.
And I did play on Saturday. These are all Sunday fixtures. And then on Saturday I played for a team, Essington as well. So
all right.
So that was the main thing. But Creswell was the team where first got scouted by Sid Day from West Brom.
And you actually signed professional forms in November 85.
Yeah.
At West Brom. you know, growing up, had you got dreams to be a professional footballer?
Well, that's all it was. So look, I was just obsessed with football as a kid. All my friends were, because every time we finished school or weekends, that's all we ever did.
Yeah.
In the local park, kicking a football. Go out when it was light, come back when it was dark. It was that kind of scenario.
Yeah.
When you're a kid. And it was just that. So like, and saying that's how I got involved with the first team that I played for at Featherstone, was that a local gentleman businessman called George Hewitt started up a football team. He owned a bit of property in the shops around Featherstone.
Yeah.
And he started up a football team, and it just went on from there. And George was one of the big things for me, who used to take me to West Brom, because my mom didn't drive, and I was brought up by my nan and granddad as well.
Right.
None of them drove. So he was the one person who used to take me to West Brom training ground, the fixtures and everything else. But that all just comes on the back of him starting up the football team. And again, I owe him a lot, because he was the one who actually took me to these things.
Do you know what, Andy? I did see that in one of the books about George Hewitt, and I didn't know who he was, I'm going to be honest. So he sort of almost mentored you, didn't he?
Yeah, he was like a dad to me, like, in a way, because say him and his wife Cheryl, who lived on Featherstone. As I said, he was a businessman from Featherstone, owned a lot of the shops around Featherstone, started up the football team. But as it went on, it started to get a little bit more difficult with his commitments. So then he said, "Do you want to go and play for somebody else?" And I ended up going to Creswell, and George took me to all the fixtures, home and away. And then when I got scouted by West Brom, he took me there as well. So I owed him a lot. So like, he was somebody who was very influential and everything.
And is he still alive?
He isn't, unfortunately. He died 3 years ago, unfortunately. Oh. Yeah, so he was, he, actually, it would have been his 70th birthday.
No way. Yeah. But how fantastic for George to see you, you know, he's taken you to the football now, to see you progress the way you did, and play all these games for Wolves and all these professional games. I mean, over 500 professional games, and he must have took great pride from that
as
well.
Yeah, he did. So, and so did the rest of my family. So, like, again, so I had massive backing from my mum, my nan and granddad and everything else.
And was they all Wolves fans as well?
Yeah, they were. So, like, and they hung around with George and John Bull. So, like, they was with them quite a lot because their weekend was away fixtures. Was on the supporters' coach, so the four of them used to go on the supporters' coach to all the away games. So I used to sort them out tickets for that, and it was a great day out for them. So they used to tell me, my granddad more so come to the home games. My nan come to a couple, but my granddad was more the home games. But both of them used to, because like I say, it was a day out for them, a day trip for them,
of course,
to the away game. So that's what they did, and so they loved it. And I always remember the Sherpa van was down there, and we've won it, I've come out. And the state of my granddad and Bully's dad was an absolute mess.
Really?
Oh.
They'd been on it all day.
They'd been on it all day. I think they'd been celebrating prior to the game and post as well. So, but look, it was a great day. And it was great to have them there as well. They really enjoyed it.
So, obviously, starting at West Brom, I'm sure the family, although all being Wolves fans, I'm sure they were once again very, very proud of you. Signing November 85 as a pro, did you see your long-term future at the club at the time?
I did at the time. I've been there from schoolboy, so I've been there from 13 years old at West Brom. Left when I was 19 to Wolves. But I got into the first team, made my debut at Anfield when I was 17 for West Brom. With John Giles as manager, Norman Hunter, Nobby Styles were my coaches.
And was you fullback that day?
No, I started off up front. I was an actual striker.
Really?
Yeah, so I was actual striker.
You're
so
not surprised Bully even got a game for West
Brom.
Yeah,
well, yeah. so he was. I started off as a striker, and then I moved onto the wing, so I was playing right midfield or left midfield, whatever one I was playing. But yeah, I started off originally as a striker, but when I made my debut, I played centre mid against Jan Mulby, Steve Nicol. Because at that time, they had Dalgleish, Ian Rush, Alan Hansen, Groblack. So they had the team at the 80s when they were winning everything.
So this kid from Featherstone, you're walking onto Anfield, I bet you're pinching yourself, aren't you? Well, what am I doing here?
The thing was, I travelled with them on the front, because I played a lot of the reserve games, and I travelled with them on the night before to Liverpool, not thinking that I was going to be involved in it. And then Nobby called me over and said, look, on the morning, said, look, you're going to start today. I didn't have the nerves at sleeping because I didn't think I was involved in it.
Yeah, if you'd have had a couple of nights to prepare, it could have really, you know, shot your nerves.
And it was, and they say, it was, I suppose in a way, it was a nice way of actually doing it, because I didn't have the opportunity to get that nervous. Don't get me wrong, still nervous coming up to it. But so I ended up playing in that. So we went 1-0 up. With our only shot at goal, Garth Crooks was playing up front at the time.
Some real names there.
I know, so he was playing up front. Our only shot, and then after that, it was like the Alamo. It was just like wave after wave of attack coming from them. We ended up losing 4-1, but look, it was my debut. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was great.
And how many games did you play for West Brom?
28. I played that year, because they got relegated that year. So like, I played, or I was involved with a lot of the games while they were in the Premiership. So I went to your Tottenhams, your Arsenals, Newcastle. So I played a lot of them as well.
So for obviously, you know, playing in the top division, playing against some big clubs, I bet it was just, for a young man, I bet it was just unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. Yeah, so because at the end of the day, so I was still only like 17, 18, just coming 18. So that was the thing. So it was, and look, so there's that no fear con thing that you've got when you're playing. Because at the end of the day, I was a fit boy. I could run, and I could chase things down. And I think that was one of the things why I got in the team as well. But and I was quite aggressive, and so that was the thing with the selection with that as well. But look, it was great. I loved it. There wasn't that hostility towards West Brom when we first, when I was there from Wolves and such. Probably because they didn't really play them that often.
Obviously, because Wolves at that point were in the depths of the fourth division.
Yeah, well, they got relegated season after season, didn't they, at the time? So they didn't really have that, where West Brom was in the top flights or in the first division Premier League as it is now. And that was the thing. So there wasn't that much hatred there. So it was great. I did enjoy it. It was a culture shock coming to Wolves from there.
Well, I was going to say, because obviously I've done a few Q&As with you and Steve, and he did say, literally, I mean, Ron Saunders, bless him, who's literally just passed away, your old manager, very sad. The hook come out at the training ground, didn't it? And
I'd...
Because you've been playing well, haven't you?
Yeah, I was playing for regular first team football for the team in the Championship. It is now. I was playing. So that, and wasn't on great money.
Yeah.
Playing first team football. There's some people there who were on big money at the time. And like, I thought, well, I've got a chance here. Like, so I had a 2-year contract there. And then I just went to training one day. So because I caught the bus, the train, because I didn't drive. So I caught the bus, train, bus to get to the training ground in West Brom. Then next thing, one of the coaches came up to me and said, can you go down to the ground? The manager wants to talk to you. Wolves are coming for you, and we've agreed a fee. And like, so I'm stunned by all this. So okay, fine. So like, I'm thinking, what's going on? Some of the other lads who I was there as well was asking what was going on. I said, look, apparently they've been accepted a fee from Wolves for me to go. So then I've got a lift down to the training ground, walked into the ground, and then I'm walking down the corridor. Ron Saunders is coming up the other way. He went, Wolves coming for you out, we've agreed a fee, go and talk to him, and carried on walking.
That was it.
I wasn't even in his office. He was in the corridor, walking down through the Hawthorns.
Wow.
So that was as quick as it was. So I've gone down, found George Hewitt up.
Yeah.
To talk to him. I said, well, what do you think? Well, he said, well, you're taking a hurt talking to them.
Because obviously you wouldn't have had an agent, would you then?
No, didn't. It was all myself. So, and like I say, I was only still 19.
Yeah.
I was only 19 at the time. So it was quite a surprise when it had come, and then I've gone down to the training ground. Ron Saunders talked to me. A gentleman called Norman Bedell, who's one of his coaches there as well, said, well, you know where you stand with it. And I said, well, not really. So like, but spoke to George, said, well, just go and have a talk to him. Do you want me to come here? I said, like, well, I think I'll be alright. And then just before I was leaving, somebody said, hang on a minute, somebody else is coming here. And it was the Tipton Terrier.
Yeah, all the Wolves fans were hoping it was Garth Crooks.
Yeah.
So, but once again, but I mean, we won't talk too much about Bully, obviously. This is your podcast. Bully had a great start at West Brom as well, so I bet it was a bit of a surprise for both of you to be...
Well, Bully was scoring for fun, so like the reserves, and he got into the first team as well and did well in that as well for the appearances what he made.
Of course.
Look, it was a shock to us both. But like, say, as we were driving down in his car, we were just talking to each other, going, what are you going to do? And he says, well, we'll have a listen to see. If they offer us anything decent or whatever, we'll have a think about it. But it was within seconds that we went down and spoke, and Graham spoke really well about the club. Again, the difference between the two grounds and the facilities and what had gone on. It was a tough decision, but like, say... You know, when you go somewhere, you just feel it's the right one.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. Because I've come from somewhere where everything's done for you.
Yeah.
Your kit, your boots, everything else.
Because West Brom were a big club then.
Yeah, they were.
They are now, but
they were then.
Yeah.
So, look, and like, because of the gap between the two, because Wolves were the fourth in the fourth division at the time when I come to Wolves.
Fourth and bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And West Brom, two or three in the Championship.
So there was every chance they was going back up that year. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. There was massive gap. Still got Premier League players there at the time. So it was massive. Like, they've got training ground, then I've come to Wolves, who just sold the training ground. So it was a big thing. But so like, it was just the feeling what you got.
Yeah.
And like, being that from there as well, Wolverhampton, that was also an attraction.
I mean, yeah, of course it was an attraction to play for your hometown club. It must have still been a bit of a difficult decision because your career was going so well at West Brom. And then you walk into, literally, a dilapidated Molyneux, which is...
And it was.
You said you was going in the changing room, wasn't you, Andy, and there was
Well, if it was raining, it was just dripping in. There was cockroaches on the floor, tiles hanging off the shower rooms. They didn't have any money for anything else. They give you a kit. You had to look after it yourself. I know it seems like hardship, but you're coming from somewhere where it's all done for you.
Yeah.
And it was a culture shock coming in and looking at the facilities around you, and then all of a sudden say, but again, you get a feel for somewhere, and look, it ended up being the right decision.
Of course.
It could have totally backfired.
And how influential was Graham Turner in that decision?
He was the main reason why I did it. So, because at the end of the day, the way that he sold the club to us, what he wanted to do, he was saying that he was bringing in other people, he wanted this club to get up. To go up, he said there was a nucleus of players there who he thought he could work with, just needed a few additions to the squad, and that's what he did. It's like he bought me and Bully, and in the March bought Deno in, Keith Downing. So you got people like that coming into the club, but it was a very, very quick turnaround when we went to the club, because I think we lost the first three games.
Yes, I mean, you lost the first three games, obviously. The first game you and Steve went to watch, obviously, you've travelled down the M5 in Bolly's Cortina, which just about got you to the ground. Then one of the first games was Chorley away, which you sat in the stands and watched.
Yeah, we couldn't play because you had to be registered for over a week or something. It was FA Cup.
You watched them lose 3-0. So at that point, you must be thinking, you know, whether you've made the right or wrong decision.
It was questioned when we actually saw what was going on. And
this is a club in big trouble, don't you, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that kind of hit home a little bit when you've actually seen them play.
Yeah, how bad they actually were.
Yeah, and look, the conditions weren't great because it was Burden Park at the time, at Bolton, where they played. So,
yeah.
So that was the thing. So, and the conditions didn't help. But look, say it was a gamble, and then you start to question. We looked at each other and goes, "What we done?" So like kind of thing. But I don't know. It was just a strange feeling that we just kind of thought that everything was going to be all right.
But it's how quickly it all turned around. I give you a statistic before we started recording. Your first 13 games for Wolves, you scored 5 goals, Andy. Steve Ball's first 13 games for Wolves, he scored 5 goals also. Obviously, 3 of yours were from the penalty spot. So
You couldn't handle it, I told you.
Yeah, that's it.
So he keeps telling me he got 350 goals if he took the penalties. I said, you'd have missed half of them.
I mean, to be honest, you look at your whole career, you have got a fantastic record goal scoring as well. I mean, out your 431 starts for Wolves, 43 goals, that's 1 in 10 for a defender. That's a good return.
It was all right, yeah. So, look, I did okay at the penalty spot. So, look, and from day one, because I took one at West Brom. So I played against Chelsea in the shootout, Members' Cup, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah.
I took one against Chelsea in a penalty shootout there when I was at West Brom.
I scored there. And you felt confident?
Yeah. So, I always felt that it was that I was going to score. That was the thing. And, the majority of the time I did. So I think I missed 3 in total, and that was it. So it wasn't a bad record at all.
So how many did you take in your career?
Oh, 40-something. I would have thought.
So most of your goals were penalties?
Yeah, I would think so, yeah. So I scored 2 headers in a week at Molineux. So Bully would still see them.
You are 5 foot?
6.
5 foot 6 of football heaven.
Yeah.
2 headers in a week?
2 headers in a week.
Flipping egg.
Well, put it this way, I wasn't challenging anybody for it. But the first one was a Bully shot, kick the crossbar, come back, I headed it in. He weren't happy about that.
I bet he wasn't.
The next one was ball's come back to, I think it's Cookie. I've made a run. He's played it first time. The keeper's coming out, and I've headed it straight over the top of the keeper to score. So there was no challenge.
Was that Charlton, wasn't it, against Charlton?
Yeah, it might have been. Yeah. I scored 2 penalties against Charlton as well, the 1 year as well. So I remember that down at the North Bank end.
Because there was a period where Wolves didn't seem to have a penalty for...
Yeah.
Ages almost, months almost.
Yeah.
So obviously you've watched it at Chorley. Obviously then you and Steve have started back, and I think Graham Turner's impact was almost instantaneous because Graham joined in October 86, you and Steve joined in November 86, then he signed in the likes of Robbie Dennison. So that's a great raid on West Brom U3. Then obviously Keith Downing, etc. And it was the 87-88 season that you really kicked on.
Yeah, it was. That year when we first come, as I said to you, I think we lost the first three games 3-0. So we lost to Wrexham on my debut, 3-0 at home. And then we lost another game 3-0. Then after that, we never lost until the last game of the season against Southend away. I always remember it, for automatic promotion to go up in that year.
Wow.
Richard Cadet scored it. They won 1-0. Southend beat us 1-0. But we went on a run from then all the way till near enough the last game. I don't know if it was the last game or last but one. But we had to win it because it was between us and them who went automatically up. And then we lost it 1-0, as I said. And then we played in the playoffs then against Aldershot.
That's right, Aldershot.
Yeah, and the conditions weren't great. But again, same for both teams. And we lost, unfortunately, that year. But probably it was a blessing in disguise because the year after, we absolutely steamrolled straight from the start.
Well, it just did gel. You look at the results. I was reading this book with the complete record earlier, and I was going through game by game. And like I said, it gelled straight away. That season, 87-88, was just incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Steve scored 50-odd times. you could name the team before you got to the ground.
Yeah.
Because it was such, the starting 11 was pretty much a permanent fixture.
Yeah. Well, what we had a good mix of youth and experience, because we had Ali Robertson, who's older than God. So look, he was there then.
I think he's about 94 now.
I was going to say he must be now, because I used to call him Grandad at the time.
Even back then. But what a player for West Brom he was.
He was there when I was there, and he was just coming, to his end of his West Brom career. But he then went to Wolves, because he was there when I got to Wolves. To Wolves, Ali, and then he got Floyd Street, who was alongside him.
Yeah,
Floyd, big, powerful. Strong lad who could play as well, Floyd.
Yeah.
And so when we've gone there, we've got experience. Mickey Holmes, and it was all about partnerships for us. You got Mutchie and Bully, which was a great partnership.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Then you got Ali and Floyd. You had Mickey Holmes, Keith Downing, where Mickey was more of a creative player, scored goals, where Keith was the one who went in for all the challenges, and hence got the name Psycho.
Yes.
Most placid man you'll ever meet off the pitch.
But on the pitch, was he a real...
Oh, yeah. He gave us that grit in there. And look, and it was a great time. We had a great set of lads. Everybody got on with everybody. And that was the thing. So, look, I know everybody says, it's all about the dressing room. And it is.
Yeah.
It is, without a doubt, because the way that it was. And what Graham did, he come in and just went, I'm doing this, and this. And as you said there, played near enough the same side all the time. And it just clicked everywhere over the pitch, just everywhere over the pitch. I played behind Deno the majority of the time. Me and Deno had a great understanding because I played with him a bit at West Brom as well.
Yeah.
But it was, and look, the ability what some of them had who went on to play in the Premier League as well. Mutchie went on to play Premier League. Bully went to England. Deno played for Ireland.
Yes.
So you're looking at things like that. There was players there playing in the fourth division who ended up playing internationally as well.
To be honest with Steve, he made his England debut while in the third division. So that fourth division season, 87-88, it would be fair to say you walked the league. There was then the Sherpa Van Trophy, which was a competition for the bottom two tiers, the third and fourth division. So really, Wolves being a fourth division side had no right to win that. You know, it should have been a third division team that won the Sherpa Van Trophy.
Yeah.
But Wolves were that strong once again, that competition. You know, I mean, what was that day like? 80,000 supporters.
Well, people ask me which is my best footballing day, and that is the day.
Sherpa Van Trophy.
The amount of people what they had, and the crowd was unbelievable. So was it about 50,000 Wolves fans for a fourth division team?
Well,
it just shows you what they've got.
Once again, looking at the figures earlier, when you first joined the club, the attendances at Molineux were anywhere between 3,000 and 5,000. Then all of a sudden, you're playing at Wembley, and there's, like you said, 50,000 Wolves supporters there. It just shows how big the club is and the potential it had then.
Well, I'll tell you what was funny as well, because a lot of my friends of, of Wolves fans, this was before automated ticket offices and stuff like this. I was taking bags of money to the Molineux where I was getting them tickets.
Your mates were saying, look, he's, I want my ticket.
I got a ticket. Basically, it was a coach load.
So it was your fault I couldn't get one then?
It probably was. But it was like a coach load of my mates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I got like cash to get tickets before all these checks and...
And then all of a sudden, they're just giving you a load of tickets, bang.
Yeah, give me a load of tickets and then I'd give them all out to me family and most to Featherstone. I don't think there was anybody left on Featherstone.
There was all at Wembley
There was all at Wembley, yeah. So it was... It was an absolutely great day. So look, and just the buzz and the build up and everything else what went on to it, and again, you got the feeling that you're going to win it.
Yeah.
You got the feeling because the momentum was with us.
There was no way Wolves were going there that day.
We've got somebody up front who scored 50 goals for you. You've got somebody else who scores 30 odd goals for you. You've got Deno double figures. So you've got goals all over. You've got Floyd and Ali, who got the experience at the back, and it was just something that you're thinking, we've got to do something drastically wrong if we're going to lose it. And that was the feeling what you got. But that was the feeling that we had after that third game when we become invincible. We knew we could score against anybody.
You could see that they were my first games I went to really as a Wolves fan, and we'd be in the south. I'd be in the South Bank, and you'd have the two stands open, South Bank and John Island. And the night games were great. The pitch was in impeccable condition then.
Yeah.
But every game, we knew we was going to win. Yeah. You know, there was absolutely no doubt. You knew Bolly and Mucci had one of them would score, and you knew you'd win.
Yeah, and that was the thing. So look, you just knew that no matter who you were playing, you knew you'd always have opportunity, and you had two lads up front who could hurt anybody.
Yeah.
And that was and I'm talking at a higher level as well.
I mean, you know, Andy Mutch was scoring 20 odd goals a season, and he wasn't even top scorer.
No.
You know, scary. Between them, it was like 70 odd goals a season they were scoring. That's ridiculous. Yeah, that's what I'm
saying, but I know Mutch gets overshadowed by the record what Steve had.
Yeah.
Because if somebody scores 50 goals, then you're scoring 20, people are only going to remember the 50, unfortunately. But Mutchie was a massive part to the partnership. So, look, he supplied the crosses, he worked for the team, and that was another thing, the way that we worked as a team, and then the quality that we had that with the mix of that as well, was potent against teams, and that was the thing. So Graham got us fit. Yeah. Graham used to work the absolute row out of us in training, and like I said, we at those days we did play hard and work hard as well, so and that was the thing. So
well, we did interview John Purdy and he told us all about the Tuesday Club.
but the thing is though, it wasn't just a handful of players, it was everybody.
Yeah, everybody had socialised together. Yeah,
that was the thing. Yeah. And that was, again, we talk about that dressing room, and that was the thing. So like everybody was in it together, and that was the beauty of it. So off the pitch, we were all together, and we were a young side.
Yeah,
the majority. So again, we had some great experienced players with us, but it was a good atmosphere. So looking, our social manager Ali as well, sorting things out. So
because he was taking you to Birmingham, all sorts of one.
Well, it was just before 24 hours pubs being open.
Yeah,
so looking, you know what I mean. So there was opening hours 12 till. Was it 11? But he knew in between everything.
He knew everybody.
Oh, he knew everything. Yeah, yeah. He knew everything.
Brilliant.
So, yeah, so it was an eye opener. But like we really enjoyed it. But we did it at the right times.
Of course. At the right times. And yes, if you did have a drink in the week, I mean, players tend probably not to now. But if you did have a drink in the week, whatever you was drinking, and to whatever amount, it was clearly working. Because
Well, Graham always said, I used to get phone calls, letters, writing saying them lot are out again. But what could he do? We were steamrolling all the games.
Yeah.
We was winning. We was top of the league.
He knew you weren't going to be foolish enough to ruin that momentum.
No, he wasn't. No, look. If someone started to drop off or we started to lose, then he would have started to question it.
Yeah.
What you're doing, you shouldn't be doing that. But with the way that we were going and the way that we were playing and the way that we playing throughout the games, he wasn't going to say anything. Unless we did something majorly wrong, he wasn't going to say anything. Because, so like, at the end of the day, why is he going to unsettle everything? If it's working,
of course.
Why repair it?
And I think the team morale was very, very important, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And it was, especially being where we were when we went in.
Four from nothing, you know, four from not to say we had training ground.
We went, we was running around the race course.
Yeah,
we was the car park.
He was literally carrying cars off the car park, weren't he?
Yeah, there was cars that were on there that were blocking. So we ended up getting round it and picking the car up, like all of us, moving it over or bouncing it out the way or whatever it was. We didn't damage any.
Yeah.
We were just moving it out the way, and again, you're playing on hardcore. So we tell you, like, even tarmac. It was hardcore, there was puddles on it, with holes in it. So you can imagine, nowadays, now they wouldn't even walk over it, never mind play
Of course.
So and
health and safety just wouldn't allow
it. Oh no. That's what I'm saying. And but that was the highlight, and that was on a Friday. So we've got the game the day after.
Yeah. So you could have rolled an ankle, or you could have...
Oh, there was people coming off there with their nose bleeding and sort of cuts on the face.
And they play the next day and 3 points.
I remember Robert Kelly, his first game when he came in, just some from Leicester. Again, he's come from a Premier League club.
Yeah, Rob Kelly.
He come into there, and first day he got a smack in the nose, and nose pouring the blood. Welcome to Wolves.
Yeah.
But that's how it was. So, look, and it was, he said, I couldn't believe when I first come. He said, look, played on the car park. And he said, look, he thought, it was going to be a flat surface.
Yeah,
then
he realised
it was all bumps and everything else. So it was, look, everybody took it on board what we were doing.
So you got promoted from the fourth, you went to the third, and to be honest, you mentioned a player of the sign then, Rob Kelly, there was Mick Gooding, there was a few others, but there wasn't many. It was still a very, very similar, the spine of the team was pretty much the same with yourself, Mark Kendall in goal, Mickey Stoll as well come along, didn't at that point, then you got Robbie Dennison, Bully, etc. So the spine of the team really stayed very similar, and once again you just steamrolled the third division.
Yeah, again, so
exactly just, the same.
Yeah. Well, we played a few of them in the Division Four when we were playing in the Sherpa van.
Yeah.
And we just blew them all away.
So you knew not to fear them.
No. So like there was, and again, because of what the mentality that we had for winning and the way that we went about games.
Yeah.
Again, about being quite physical, working hard. But we knew, again, we could score. And I'm not just talking about the front two. We knew we could score.
From anywhere on the field. Yeah. Any player could contribute.
Yeah, and that was the thing. So, like, you got Deno getting double figures. You got Mickey Holmes getting double figures.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how many I got in that season. But it was just that we knew that we could cause a problem for teams. Because we were fit. We had pace. We had experience. And more importantly, we had goals in the team, and that was enough to put the fear of God in a lot of teams.
As we did,
I think we was top of the league from near enough day one.
Yeah,
in that year.
I think that season we actually lost the first game 3-1 to Bury.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden the wind started piling in, and like you said, there was top from almost the start of the season after that game, and it just went on and on and on. Obviously, we got promotion then. To what is now the Championship, which was then the second division.
Yeah.
And we seemed to be in there for an age. Now, Graham Turner did an unbelievable job. Do you think with a bit more investment, he could have kicked us on? Or do you think maybe investment was the problem? Do you think he was used to not spending money?
I think that he was used to not spending money. I think that when he brought people in, it kind of unsettled the cart a little bit. Because we still had that momentum from the previous 2 years. And look, we did all right in the Championship.
Yeah.
But I just thought that if we could have just brought in the right players, I think that, I'm not saying that the wage bracket changed, but because it did.
Of course it did.
Because of where you are. And that's what you've got to do to attract better players.
Yeah.
But I think that it just unsettled a few players in there.
Yeah.
And that was, I think,
a few of the people that have been there for a while, obviously yourself, Steve, Andy, obviously Robbie Dennison, because these are players that have come with the club from the fourth division to the second. Then all of a sudden, what's going on off the pitch, the stadium's transforming.
Yeah.
Everything's happening almost, it's just an unbelievable stadium. But then they're signing, in my opinion, they're signing players that are coming down from the top division, which are maybe on final paydays, did they really have the hunger and the interest to, I don't know.
Yeah, well, he brought Jeff in, didn't he? Unfortunately, Jeff got injured.
Yeah. So I thought that was a great signing at the time.
So I'm all for the team progressing and the club progressing.
Yeah.
But again, Jeff got a serious injury.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you've lost your big investment player.
Yeah. Say, that, I mean, he signed for 800,000.
Yeah.
And we'd signed Kevin Keane and David Kelly as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So who were good players. And I say,
very good.
And I say, look, I knew Ned anyway. So look, it was, and Keane had come in, who was a good player from West Ham.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's all of a sudden then you've got players who have been there a while, myself, Deno.
Could you see it starting to break up a little bit?
Not with the way that things were, but like just with, look, say if you're not playing in the sides, you're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. So look, people started to be left out. And I think with the way things that went, you get left behind a little bit with it.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, well, surely I deserve an opportunity to play in this league.
Yeah.
And I did fall out with Graham a little bit towards the end of when he was there.
Yeah.
Because he offered me a contract. I turned it down and then the club took it off the table for me.
Really?
Yeah, at the time. And so, look, that's football. I wasn't on the team photo that year either.
Really? Because,
yeah, I didn't go and the trip, the pre-season.
Pre-season?
No. So that's when, as I say, like, and you're thinking, well...
So they put you an offer and you said, look, it's not quite, you know...
No, it's not what I want. And then they put it on, then they said the offer wasn't there anymore. So, like, I didn't go on that pre-season, wasn't on the team photo. So all of a sudden, you're thinking, well, what's going on here? Things weren't great. So, like, and the results didn't go, and then Graham ended up leaving.
Yeah.
I think he left about the October, November time. And then they brought in Graham Taylor. And then I got back into the team with Graham Taylor. And then that year, ironically, I won Player of the Year that year. So I didn't start.
Yeah.
I didn't start the season then.
And obviously, you're sad to see Graham go.
Yeah, of course I was. Graham did brilliant for the club.
He signed you. He's been your manager since 1986. You've come from, you know, where you're in the changing room, there's puddles, and all of a sudden, you know, all the tolls are on the wall. It's a great stadium. So you've been on that journey. So it's hard to see him go.
Yeah. Of course it was. So Graham gave me the opportunity and always grateful to it. So look, and again, so I'll still get on with Graham. So at the end of the day, he's the manager.
Of course.
He's got to make a decision.
Of course.
But as a player, you don't understand at the time, if you're not playing, the decision what he's making. So look, there's no animosity about it. But like I say, it's just that sometimes you just don't understand why, what's going on. And so like, and that, to make it more clearer to yourself, that would have been the thing for me. But that was one of those things.
I spoke to Andy Much. He was devastated about leaving Wolves.
Yeah.
But it was one of them. Graham Turner had to make decisions.
Yeah,
of course. He was under pressure to get Wolves into the top division. They was throwing money at it. He was making signings, which rightly or wrongly, some of them worked. Obviously, some of them didn't. So he must have been under immense pressure.
Look, so at the end of the day, every manager is under pressure for success, isn't they? So they've got to keep progressing. They've got to keep moving the club forward. And look, he made decisions that he wanted to do. And like all managers, if they don't work out, they're not going to be at the club anymore. And unfortunately, Graham ended up leaving the club because results weren't right. And then they brought Graham Taylor in.
So first season, you win player of the year. What was Graham Taylor like as a tactician and to play under?
Very professional. And I'm talking about meticulous about what he did. Even in the summer when we got pre-season, he's got tie-ups on his socks, keeping his socks up. You know what I mean? Just that.
Yeah.
Just immaculate when he's dressing. Spout really well. Again, it's somebody who's managed at the highest level coming to your club. All of a sudden, Salok is brought in again. Two big signings, Dales and Froggy.
Yeah. Almost straight away from Villa.
Straight away from Villa.
Yeah, so two wingers.
Everybody wanted to play. Unfortunately, both of them got injured.
Straight away, almost.
So you've got Jeff Thomas, who's struggling. You've got Froggy and Dales, who were two of his main threats. We passed down the flanks. And he never had use of them.
See, on paper, we had a great side then, didn't we?
We did. If everybody... But
it was a big squad as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, paper don't win your games, though, does it?
No,
so that's
the
thing. And look, he was always going to be under pressure at our club because his first job after the England job.
And straight away, you could see that was the monkey on his back with it already, wasn't it? And he looked under pressure from day one, and it had to work.
Yeah, but also as well, you look at the... When we had press at our club, okay, we had a bit. As soon as he come, it tripled. You know, media coming to the club.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, because I felt sorry for him because of how I think they got the teeth into him a little bit as well.
Yes.
But he was able to take it. He had all the experience with England, where they don't get much tougher jobs than that.
No, not at all.
The media or the press. And all the stuff what went on with that, but he went there, he come to us, and he was brilliant. He said, look, I'll handle all the pressure, I just want you to go out there and play.
Yep.
Not just me, the team.
Yep.
I want you to play, and that's what I want you to do. He set us up with the way that we're playing, and again, his training sessions, he had Steve Harrison, who's like the link between the players, the first team coach.
Yes.
And he was absolutely crazy.
Yeah,
he was absolutely he was brilliant around the lads. He was brilliant. But he was Graham's right hand man. So Graham was very,
because he was with Steve Harrison was with Graham at Watford, I believe, and obviously the England
Villa,
setup.
And the Villa as
And Villa as well, of course, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So he's somebody who we trust, so like to make sure they did things right. And Steve was a great coach as well. So like you got Graham, he was an overseer of everything, because Graham used to like to do it himself as well.
Yeah.
So it was it was a great experience. I just felt sorry for him. He didn't have enough time because of what happened with the injuries, and didn't have his lineup what he wanted. And then things started to go bad, and the press elevated the pressure on the media.
Yeah. It was almost under the microscope, wasn't it?
Well, it was always going to be. After the England job, there was always going to be after him.
Yeah.
And if results didn't go, it just give them something to have a go at him, and I felt sorry for him because he was the one who set up was one of the original ones,
the academy.
And so the club owe him a lot for that kind of thing,
hugely.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. He tried to do the right thing about everything and get things set up and get everything in the correct order what it should be.
And do you think if they'd have stuck with him a little bit longer, do you think he would have got to the?
Without doubt, I think he would have got us up a lot earlier than we did.
Yeah.
Looks like now we did eventually.
But it was years later. It was 2003. Yeah. It was years later, wasn't it?
Yeah, because he was somebody who, so I thought, when he's come in, his ideas, his professionalism, but there was always that little bit of thing about the Wolves fans and Bully, wasn't there? About the England setup. And that was something that it just didn't wash well with a lot of the players.
Yeah.
Not the players, fans.
The fans, yeah.
And that was the thing. But
because it effectively Bully's England career to a halt almost.
But I'll tell you what, there was no hostility at all from Bully and with Graham as well. There was nothing. You would never have known that. I think it was probably all blown up out of proportion.
Yeah.
About what went on. But I think that I felt sorry for him in the end, because so like they did basically hound him out again. And I think that we would have got promotion if he'd stayed around a lot sooner.
And one of my favourite games from that era, I'm sure you'll agree as well, Sheffield Wednesday, FA Cup at Molineux. It goes to penalties. Did you take the first or Robbie?
I took the first.
So I remember watching in the stand. I mean, we go 3-0 down on penalties. And obviously when you step up as our first taker, I thought you're now done to score. You missed.
I hit the crossbar. I go straight down the middle, hit the crossbar. Deno misses. And like I say, they've gone first, so they've got the third. So they're 3-0 up.
3-0 up, and you visibly saw Wolves fans leaving.
Well,
and rightly so.
Well, if the turnstile was up, no one off himself, I think. So, but 3-0 down, and you're thinking, that's it, done and dusted, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
So they've got...
As a player, didn't you see any way back from that?
Well, they've got Chrissy Waddle, just take one.
Yeah.
Bart Williams, yeah, who were talented boys at the time. I know he had his problems in the World Cup penalty shootout, Waddle. But you've got two people there who are coming up. Tony, one of them had to score.
That was it, game over.
Both of them missed.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, what's going on here?
We've got half a chance now.
You couldn't have wrote that script, so for it. But yeah, and then the other lad, Pierce, I think he was centre-half for Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
He missed one as well. And then I think Don scored the winner.
Because Kevin Pressman, the goalkeeper, took the third. Oh. And he literally took the net off, didn't he?
Well, I'll tell you what, if our goalkeeper was standing there, he wouldn't have stopped it.
No.
He's absolutely drilled it straight into the top corner.
I mean, right in the top corner.
And hit it sweet as well.
So just perfect. So that's 3-0, so you think. And then, was it Don that got the winner?
Don got the winner.
Yeah.
Don got the winner, yeah.
I mean, that was just unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah, so you got Gordon Cairns and you got John DeWolf who scored, didn't you?
Yes, John DeWolf.
And then you got Don who scored the winner. So it was, because it was one each, wasn't it, full-time?
Yeah.
I think Dave Kelly.
Was it Mark Bright that scored for Sheffield? Yeah.
So Ned equalised.
Yeah.
So, so you're testing knowledge now, aren't you?
And then your favourite manager. So after Graham Taylor sadly departed, your favourite Wolves manager ever took over, the Mr. Mark McGee.
Yeah, look, say I was still playing. I was still playing in the team, but like say he's had a couple of fallouts with him, as a few other players did as well. Whatever. Look, it's part and parcel of football, as I said.
You're not going to get on with everyone, are you?
No. And I'm not going to get on with every manager either, because, again, they've got a job to do.
Yes.
So it was just that towards the end, there was getting more and more a little bit of a conflict between me and him, saying things to each other. And then...
I mean, what did you, if you don't mind me asking, what sort of things did you fall out about?
Just stupid things. He used to ask me if I was going out, if I was out on the night before, or I had been doing this, and I'm like...
So, like almost questioning your professionalism?
Yeah, exactly, which I wasn't happy about.
Of course not.
So then I'd retaliate by just giving him a mouthful back, and then, like, say, he was just bickering little bits and pieces like that.
Yeah.
And then it just went on, and then I always remember, so, like, because Colin Lee, I got on well with Colin Lee, his assistant.
Yeah.
And I always remember, and it, when I knew my contract was up at the end of the year, 97, my contract was up at the end of the year, and I remember the QPR game. We'd gone overnight, we're down on the Friday. Colin Lee's come to me and said, look, they've got a lad in midfield called Peacock. Oh, it's Gavin Peacock. Can you do a job on him tomorrow? Because he's the threat come running from midfield. So we're going to play in there, just like man marking, basically. So, yeah, it's fine. So, look, comes the next day, team lineup's named by Mark. I'm not even playing. So I've looked at Colin and he's just gone.
Just shrugged his shoulders, yeah, as if to say.
Yeah, well, he's made his decision. And he played Darren Ferguson instead.
Yeah.
Now, Darren, as we know, good attacking midfielder.
Yeah, good passing the ball. Yeah. Great.
Defensively,
yeah.
Not his game. So, like, we're 2-0 down. So, like, Colin not happy. They're going, need to get hold of him. He scored one of the goals as well. So, like, Peacock has. Next thing, we're coming to half-time. Little bit hostile in there from some of the players because Colin's still having to go at Fergie about you need to call him lazy and blah blah, and then he's having to go and he's going, look, I can't do it.
It's not my game.
No, you picked basically picked me the wrong player. I can't do it. He's holding his hand up, going, I can't do it.
Yeah,
and like the thing's going on, and then all of a sudden there's a little bit of a thing. And then all of a sudden, a couple of the players stand up and go, leave him alone.
Really?
Yeah, leave him alone.
So protecting Darren.
Yeah. So I leave him alone. So these are senior players in there. I'm not going to name names.
Yeah.
Senior players. And then one of them stood up and said it. Then he's still having a bickers about. Then another one stood up. So there's two or three players then.
So it's almost like a revolt against. Yeah.
So wow. Like about what it is. So and then it was hostile. So the next, so we got, this is a Saturday, the Sunday we're off. Going in on the Monday. Colin set up all the training session before we get down. We're down at Lucas's at the time.
Yeah.
Training down there. So then all of a sudden we're just coming out for training. Mark's turned up, gone over to Colin, come back and just went, all of you just go home. It's because they've had a bust up again about something.
Ah, right.
And then all of
a sudden... Just sent you all home?
Yeah,
just go home. Didn't even train?
No, just go home. So because there had been some words said between the two of them. So like, and then it was just that. So and it's just little things like that, what went on.
Yeah.
And then we've got Crystal Palace in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We lose 2-1 away. I'm playing. So, like I say, I played majority of the games.
Yeah.
So, we got Crystal Palace away. We lose 2-1. I think James Smith scored for us.
Yes.
To make it 2-1. So, we got him back at home. So, you're thinking, oh, we've got a chance. Names the team for the Crystal Palace, the next leg at home. I'm not playing. He's played Jeff Thomas, left back.
So, and look, by his own admission, Jeff Thomas, he's not a left back, is
no,
he?
No. So, but look, he's not. Yeah, but the thing is, you know, the writing's on the wall then a little bit. You're playing a centre midfield player, left back.
And that was in a playoff game.
Yeah.
So now, that's almost, it's almost self-destruct, isn't it? Yeah. Because if he'd have played his strongest team then, he, once again, he can be a legend at the club, can't he, for getting him into the Premier League?
Well, the thing is, I would like to turn it around as well, yeah, so that's what the thing. But that was, that basically, the Crystal Palace away game was the last game I played. So that was it then. So like I didn't play in that game and then knocked out, end of the season. and had a meeting with Mark and just said, look, we're not offering you a new contract. So, look, so gutted. But it couldn't go on with the way that it was.
The good thing about the way it finished is, Andy, the fact that you did get a chance to say, not a goodbye as such, but to thank the supporters by having a testimonial versus Chelsea in the summer, July of 1996. I mean, what an honour that is. How did that, what was that day like?
Oh, it was great. Because, like, so when Graham Taylor came in, I ended up signing a new 3-year contract, and part of my contract was a testimonial.
Brilliant.
Because I've been there, time it would have been like 10 years.
Yes,
11 years.
Yes, signing in 86, yeah.
Yeah, so 11 years at the time. So when I did do that, so that was great. So, but I was fortunate, as I say, Wolves give me the only home game of pre-season. So, like, I had that. And on the back of that as well, Chelsea signed all the Italians, the Vialli, Hullet and stuff
yes,
like that.
Yeah.
Di Matteo.
Yeah, so they had a great squad, didn't they?
So they just bought them. So on the back of that as well, it all worked out great for me. So, like, it was...
Yeah, and how many was there that day?
24,500.
I mean, that's just...
Yeah, so it was
to get that to a testimonial is fantastic. Yeah. It's credit to you, Andy.
Yeah, but I know it's a lot of it was there. Not enough, so I don't know. But a lot of it was to do with on the game. I think what the Italian signing for... Look, so...
But even so, to get 24,000 to that game is just incredible.
Look, it was unbelievable. So, like, and I appreciate everybody turning up for it. It was great.
Yeah.
And I had, like I say, it was great. We lost 1-0, unfortunately, but... Dennis Wise scoring, but it was great. And like I say, it was kind of a nice way of leaving the club at the time as well.
And how, obviously, yes, you didn't play in the one Palace playoff game. How sad was it for you to actually, you know, leave the club? And cause it was Tranmere you went to, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Well, 11 and a half years I was at the club. 11 and a half years, so it's...
And you never wanted to end here?
No. I was only 29 still, so it's as if, like, I'm coming to the end towards my career already. So I was 29 at the time, and I was just thinking, well, I tried to think on the bright side. I'm still gutted that I'm leaving.
Yes.
Wolves, that was the thing. But I'm just thinking, well, there's opportunities out there, so still. And to be fair, I had a couple of clubs after me who was injured. Graham from Watford wanted me to go to Watford with him.
Why did you turn that down? Or
turn that down?
Really?
I'll tell you a story about that. So I went down. So, look, I went down with my family. I've got my eldest lad Daniel with me. Sorry, I've got my eldest lad Daniel. So, look, I'm on the pitch at Vicarage Road, talking to Graham, and he's just gone. Well, what do you think? So, look, he's offered me a contract there.
Yeah.
And my eldest lad just turned around and went to him. Oh, I'm not moving here. It's too far. I walked off. And I went...
So your agent, who was your son at the time...
Yeah, so he just turned around and said, I'm not moving here. And just walked off from Graham. So, like, I just thought, that's funny as. But but then I had Tranmere, who come in for me as well.
Yeah.
Because
Tranmere at the time, actually, were a very good side, weren't
they? Championship. And look, say, look, I had three great years. Look, I was gutted to leave Wolves, but I had three great years at Tranmere, because that was the club that I ended up going for. But, like, I don't regret going there, but Watford that year got promoted to the Premier League.
So you could have gone to Watford.
Yeah. And they got promotion. And look, I'm not saying it would happen when I was there, but they got promotion to the Premier League that year. Under Graham.
I always say about football, with everyone I've interviewed, everything is a flip of a coin.
Yeah, it is.
You're at a fork in the road. You can go one way, you can go the other. Fortunately, you've had a great career, but there's always for every player what ifs, isn't there?
Yeah, look, I don't regret Tranmere. I absolutely loved it when I went there, because the beauty of it as well, I knew a couple of lads who were there as well. Cookie was there with me.
Oh, of course, Paul Cook with that wonderful left foot.
And so was Ned Kelly.
Yeah,
so I had two lads there who I knew. And when I got there,
so that's the Tuesday club sort of
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I think. It helped me settle in a little, because I travelled up with Ned, because I never moved.
Yeah.
I travelled up with Ned. But just the group of lads there were great. Absolutely. Because we were the experienced ones at the time, and it was quite a youthful side. And they had some very good players there. They had Kenny Irons, remember him?
Yeah, Kenny Irons, yeah.
He was a very good player.
He was a hard player, wasn't he?
John Aldridge was the manager, of course.
Yeah, and so, he had a great goal scoring record when he was a player there, didn't he?
Well, he was player manager there when I first went. He only played that 1 year, then he just come manager.
But he was still scoring the goals, wasn't he?
He was. Alan Mahon, remember him? He played for Blackburn, Premier League, Celtic, he went to Sporting Lisbon, I think he went as well.
Yeah.
So we had some good players there.
Jed Brennan there or Egan?
Jed Brennan had just left.
Yeah.
He just left. But say
they had a good strong side. Well,
they're always going to be the understudy to Everton and Liverpool around that area. But I think they were happy just being in the Championship. And I mean, more than did enough to stay in the Championship. We was always there or thereabouts near the top. Like I said, we had John McGreal.
Who's
manager at Colchester.
Yeah.
He was one of the centre-halves as well. So we had people like that. Andy Thorne, remember he played for Wimbledon?
Yeah, Andy Thorne, centre-half. Yeah, centre-half.
So, look, we had some good players there. Gary Stevens.
Yeah.
Right-back.
Yeah,
he was the right-back there.
Flipping it.
Yeah, so we had some good players there. By the way, he was the fittest bloke I've ever seen him in.
Was he? Running. And he'd have been getting on a bit then, wouldn't he? Well, say getting on, early 30s.
Yeah, he could run for fun. But I'll say, all of these, a combination of everything what they had, he was great and I loved it. And we got the Wimbledon Cup final as well, the League Cup final as well. I didn't play in it, unfortunately. But that's the year I left.
Was it against Blues?
No, it was against Leicester. Lost 2-1.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think who scored. It's the centre-half scored the two goals. Oh, Ned scored for us, centre half for Leicester at the time.
Elliot. Yeah, Matt Elliott.
Yeah, he scored the two goals. So he scored the two goals against us. So we lost in that. So, but again, that was when I had 3 years there, and that's when I left.
It was Cardiff. Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
And then the graveyard of most former Wolves players who live in the area, they all have a solitary game for Hendersford down there, and the boots up.
Yeah, well, like I said, I went to Cardiff for 2 years.
Yeah.
Got injured near enough the second game with a hernia, a bad one. I was out for 4 or 5 months with that. So basically ripped all my stomach from a challenge, from a tackle. So like Bobby Gould took me there. Sam Amman was the chairman.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. But like
everyone gets paid in cash.
No. But Bobby Gould took out. But when I come back in, he'd left for some reason. I still don't know to this day why he left.
No one's told you.
No, nobody's told me why he left. Yeah. Alan Court come in.
Yeah, I did read that and he got bombed out straight away.
Without even playing. He just said, like, look, you're not in your plans. If you find a club you can do. And I thought, okay, fine, fair enough. I can accept that.
Yeah.
But I had a year and a half left on my contract. So that was the problem. So, but like I say, I was down there, and I'm not going to go into it, but like I say, like it wasn't great the way that there's about seven of us.
Really?
Yeah, it was a nightmare. So like it was just, because they wouldn't let us go on loan, they wouldn't let us go anywhere, they wanted us to come in training, didn't have a coach, didn't train properly.
So they was freezing you out, so you basically
try and walk out, because they wanted us to walk out the club, and I went, I ain't going nowhere.
Like a bit of a Sam Hammam trick, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, so I got just some staying here. So like at the end of the day, so like I stood there, and then Alan Court went. Just trying to think of the next manager who come in. Not many of them. But another manager come in, and then they eventually let us go out on loan.
Yeah.
Towards the end of it. And then I had 6 months, 7 months left on my contract, so you can imagine how long I'd been there from not playing. So he led us to Shrewsbury with Kevin Ratcliffe.
Yeah.
He was the manager. So like I went there, and then I had problems with my calf then. That was when I started, I was 36.
And that was when you was thinking?
Yeah. Well, I got injured, my calf went, I tore my calf, and then I'm thinking, okay, come back. A couple of weeks later, I did it again.
Yeah.
And then I've just gone, not enjoying this at all, and I always said to myself, if I get to the stage where I wasn't enjoying it, I'd pack in.
Even though it's a local club, did you live in Cardiff when you played there?
No, I was traveling.
So you've always traveled. You've never left. Never left the Midlands.
I've always commuted. So like I say, I've traveled everywhere I've been. So Shrewsbury, it's like it. Yeah, that's. In a way, I wish it had worked out because it's a nice little club.
Yeah.
But with injuries, and then I just went, when I got to the end of it, I just thought I'm packing in.
So Kevin Ratcliffe, you said, yeah?
Yeah.
So was it before Graham Turner obviously got back involved with the club?
Yeah, he was before Graham got back, but Graham was there, it was Kevin. But then I packed in, then Barry Pell, who I played with the Wolves,
yeah,
asked me about, would you come and play a couple of games for Rensford?
Yeah.
And I went, look, as I say, like, my calves are great, I'll see what it happens. He said, look, just come and have a
bit like the excuses you give me for the All-Stars.
Yeah, yeah. So I just,
same one.
I'm struggling with it now. I went on the treadmill, it went again. But like, so I just went there. I played a couple of games and he went again. And I went, Baz, knocking on the head, mate, how are you doing it?
Yeah.
I'd say, like, it's taking me like weeks to get over it. It's killing me. I'm limping for 3 or 4 days after I've done it. It ain't worth it.
36, 37, nah, that's not what you want, is it?
And that was the thing. So like, I didn't want it. So like, and I just stopped it. But when I was at Shrewsbury and I was out injured, what it did allow me to do was I went back to college at night. College.
I was just going to say, go on, carry on, yeah?
Yeah, so I went back to Cannock College and I did, because I left school with no qualifications at all, because I went straight into football. I was 13 and then 16 when I left school. So then when I was coming towards the end of my career, I decided I wanted to do something for myself. So I went back to Cannock College, night school, and I did English and Maths, GCSE, just off my own back. I just did that.
So, are you in the classroom with some Wolves fans? Is there the odd Wolves fan in there?
Yeah, there was some in there, yeah, because I'd only just finished, like, so it was...
And he's in the corner, 451 appearances for Wolves, doing his English and Maths exams. Yeah. Brilliant.
And adding up with my Maths, yeah.
Well, do you know what, though, Andy? That's... one of the points I wanted to make was, you're a teacher now and you work at Chelliston Academy.
Yeah.
Now, you've stopped playing football, you've done a degree full time. Sorry, we did have a bit of a technical glitch then because I had a phone call coming through because once again I'm still new to this. But
it's so popular, should you? That's what.
Well, that's it. Yeah, that's it.
It's just demand, mate. It's just demand.
I think it was trying to sell me PPI.
There you go.
But yeah, just to rewind. Sorry. So after finishing football, you did a degree. Full-time for 3 years. This was after your courses, your maths and English courses at Cannock College. So you're working now at Chelliston Academy in Derby. Now, Andy, what you've done really, after football, yes, I know, which we will talk about in a minute, you do the radio now, but literally, you didn't stop in football, you come away from football, and... Is that true?
I did initially, I stayed in football, I was doing Telford Youth Team for 6 years.
But
that was... That was alongside when I was doing the degree. So I was doing Telford football.
Yes, yeah, so it was almost sort of part-time.
Yeah, so TCAT. So it was like night times, Tuesday and Thursday night, games on a Wednesday. So it was like, it fitted in with what I was doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like I did that for 6 years. And then I did Wolves under-16s for about 6 months. But because I started working over in Derby, it was just getting too much for the travelling and that. And also as well, because I've been doing... I know, in hindsight, I probably shouldn't have, but like because I've been at Telford for so long, I felt a little bit of loyalty towards them.
Of course.
As a priority rather than Wolves, and possibly I shouldn't have. But then because of that, I just come out of it, and I just thought, I'm just sticking to the teaching.
So how long have you been a teacher for now?
13 years.
And it's PE teacher, isn't it?
PE teacher, yeah.
So, you know, you've come out of football, yes, you've I didn't actually know about the Telford job. You've done a bit at Telford, but you've actually retrained yourself and you've had to go into a whole new career.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a testament to you, the fact that you've been doing it for 13 years. And that's, I suppose, give you once again back the stability and the infrastructure that football gives you in your life. You've obviously got that all again, haven't you?
Yeah, it is. But the thing is, though, it was hard. So, look, because at the end of the day, as you said there, you're in football. I was in football all my life, basically. So I've had near enough 20 years playing pro football.
Yeah.
And you think it's never going to end.
Yes.
But once I got the injury to my calf, I kind of just went on, I need to do something else. And I want to do something for me.
Yeah.
So that's why I did the Cannock College. Like I say, maths and English took me a year to do. Because with all the different things that you've got to do with the exams and all that as well. Then after I did that, after I passed them, I did like a thing called an access course,
right?
Which is 5 different subjects, but it's the equivalent to A-levels. And that's, again, at Cannock College. So I'm still doing this on the night time.
Brilliant.
As well as doing the coaching. So, and then once I've done that, that then allowed me then to go and do the degree. Because by that time I thought, well, I'm going to do something with it. Now I've got it, this access course with the A-levels, I want to do something. So then I enrolled on Wolverhampton University and did the 3-year degree. But and then year teacher training, it took me in total 6 years to get it all done.
Wow. And I'm sure you are, but I bet you're really proud of yourself for doing that.
I am, because it gave me another, and that's the thing about it, it gave me another challenge.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to just come out of it. Because I did, when I was coming towards the end, especially because I'd never been injured really that much. I'd had a couple of hernia operations.
Yeah.
Never been really injured until my calf. And then I just thought, and then I started thinking, this ain't going to last forever. I need to do something else. I wasn't, even though I was doing the coaching, I wasn't that bothered about doing it. I didn't really want to do it. I'd seen a little bit of a glimpse about how cutthroat the other side is of your team from being a player and a coach. And I just thought that I don't think it's for me.
And I think some players, Andy, that stop playing professional football, then all of a sudden they just automatically think, oh, I'll be a coach or I'll be a manager or I'll do media work. And especially with the coaches and managers jobs, you could get a job at Hartlepool up north, Bournemouth down south, or wherever.
Well, this was a problem as well.
And it's not going to be great money.
No, well, this is the problem.
As an assistant manager or a coach at a lower league club.
Well, I'd spoke to some of my friends who were doing the coaching role, and that was it. The problem what you've got is the uncertainty around it.
Yeah.
Was it in coaching and management, you've got a 6-week timescale if results don't go.
Every manager's 3 weeks in the sack. Three games, I should say. 3 results in the sack, pretty much.
Exactly. So, and I didn't want that. I didn't want that because I don't want to be somebody who's, oh, I've got a job here. Oh, no, I've got a job now. So I can, and here, there and everywhere. It wasn't for me. So I decided that I wanted to be something around here and do something around here.
Yeah.
Always loved sport, not just football. I've always loved sport. I've always had a go at a lot of different activities like that. And I knew that because of that, I could get through this.
Yeah.
Wasn't brilliant at school because I was always just football. But I was surprised myself at how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That was the thing for me. And that made it easier for me because I enjoyed doing it.
Brilliant.
The English and maths, even though it was 20 years since I left school.
Of course.
And
it would have been daunting.
Well, the only writing I'd ever done is sign my name.
Yeah.
So that was all I'd done.
And so you didn't have to, worry about it, did you really?
Because all I had to do was write my name. And all of a sudden, I've come to the stage where, and this is before Word on...
You're writing school reports,
I'm having to handwrite an essay. I'm thinking, a couple of sentences, I mean, this is killing me. So I used to say, because you're not used to it.
Of course you're not.
But that was the thing. So, look, it was a total change and a shock to it, but I was surprised. And again, it's a fulfilment about achieving it.
Yeah, of course.
About when you get that thing through the post saying you passed.
Wow. It must be such a buzz.
Oh, well, you kind of, after when you do the exam, you kind of date yourself thinking, have I done it right? Am I going to get a pass? And when it comes through and you got the grade, what you want, it's great.
Brilliant. And I think, like I said, you've got that stability now. There's a lot of footballers, as soon as they stop playing, they don't know what to do and they get into a bit of a mess. You was obviously quite focused on what you wanted to achieve.
Well, I've got a purpose. I've got a purpose to do something. And that was the thing. I give myself... Because I've never been one to sit around and do nothing anyway.
Yeah.
So it gave me some kind of goal to achieve something.
Yeah.
I knew I was coming out of it. Don't get me wrong, I missed all the... stuff about the changing rooms and the way that the lads were, and again, it's great
because that's one of the things a lot of players miss the banter, isn't it?
Oh, it is, without doubt.
It's not really the playing sometimes. No. I'm
sure if you ask a lot of them, they probably don't enjoy the training as such, apart from being with a group of lads you get on with.
Having the crack every day.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the thing. So, like, it's I enjoyed it at the time, and they say, like, it was great, I loved it, I would never change it. I've been fortunate enough to play.
Yeah.
The amount of years that I did, I absolutely loved it. I had my dream job.
Yeah, of course.
And then all of a sudden, it's coming to an end. I've got to do something.
You've got
else.
It, yeah. Because it doesn't last forever, does
no,
it? It is a short career.
It is.
And now, Andy, you do the radio with Mikey Burrows, and I mean, you've been doing it a few years now. Do you enjoy that?
Oh yeah, it's a good laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good laugh. So like, it's. I know I'm talking about the games and everything else, but it's. We have some fun on it as well. So like, it just gives me stick all the time about everything and. What I was playing in the 1950s football matches and stuff like that. So But look, say it's great, and I'm fortunate enough that I'll get to see all the Wolves games.
Gonna say you go home and away, don't you?
Yeah, I go home and away. So look, yeah. I've really enjoyed it. So look, I have. Because I remember the first time Tom Ross was the person who asked me, said, look, would you mind filling in for somebody can't come? And that's how I ended up doing the radio. And I ended up going on the radio because I've never done it before. And he just said, look, I'll just come to you and ask for your opinion about whatever has happened on the pitch.
Yeah.
And it just went on from there. And then I got asked to do the next season. And then I got asked to do it for somebody else.
Brilliant.
And now I'm doing it for the Wolves. Again now, so it has been great. I have loved it.
Yeah.
It's been good.
And long may it continue.
Well, hopefully. So sometime I'm sure it'll come to an end, but
well, look, whatever you're doing, Andy, you're doing it right.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for your time today because
no problem at all.
I found it very, very interesting. I know we've done a few Q&As, but you've told me a few more stories today that I didn't know about. So I have found this particularly interesting as well. I'm sure the listeners have. So thank you for your time, Andy.
Pleasure.
And it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.